Welcome to Center for Spiritual Enlightenment, Satsang Message with Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien. Unalloyed happiness. Go for the gold.
Very grateful to be with you today and for the opportunity to serve with you. And for me, the opportunity to always be learning, always learning on the spiritual path. Paramahansa Yogananda said, on the spiritual path, the spiritual way of life, it's ever new joy. And I find that to be true, and also ever new learning and revelation. And that's a blessing. And so often for me, there's a conjunction of, you know, the topic that I have chosen some months ago, and then kind of where I am in my life. And I chose this topic about unalloyed happiness, you know, in a sense, imperturbability and contentment that has lined up perfectly with the time that we are having our kitchen remodeled. I see some of you are familiar with the experience of construction at home. So Amar and I did make a vow with one another that we would stay married during the process, and we would be kind. So I do want to say that it's all going very well, and we do feel blessed. And of course, you know, in the light of what people go through, it's a very small thing. But we have, all of us, opportunities to practice and to learn how to be content when the things that we count on are shifting and changing. So that's the topic for today: unalloyed happiness, go for the gold. And I sort of drew that title from a poem of Daniel Ladinsky's that was inspired by Hafiz when he wrote, "Habits are human nature. Why not create some that will mint gold?" It's human nature. In fact, it's the nature of all beings to seek happiness and to avoid suffering. We all want that. We all want happiness. We all want to avoid suffering. And if we look, we can see that that search for happiness and contentment is behind every drive that we have. So the question is, how do we set ourselves up for the highest success? And is it possible? Is it really even possible for us to know unconditional, unalloyed happiness? And then another question, we can ask ourselves, do I even want it? Do I even want unconditional happiness? And is it possible in a time like this? Well, the spiritual teachings actually tell us it's necessary. So that's why I'm talking about it today. What I'm referring to as unalloyed happiness or unconditional happiness is that experience of absolute contentment that is grounded in the soul, in the experience of our innate wholeness. There's a verse in Patanjali's Yoga Sutra that we study. It's in the second chapter, 42nd verse, that says, "One who is established in contentment experiences supreme happiness. From contentment, the highest happiness is attained." So we learn about the connection between the two. You know, I thought before coming on the path and studying that contentment was the result of happiness. But this turns it around and says, no, actually, first, learn how to be content, then you will discover supreme happiness. So how does that work? It's a good question. So unconditional happiness is the happiness of the soul. It's It's inherent. It's free of causation. It's not the result of the fulfillment of desire. It's free of cause, and therefore it can't be taken away from us. It can't be destroyed. It can't even be lost. It can, however, be obscured by a troubled mind or troubled heart, or when we become lost in ordinary states of consciousness, basically ego-driven consciousness. It's worth noting, I think, that this realization of contentment leading to supreme happiness is among the top 10 virtues to be cultivated on the path of Kriya Yoga. It's right up there with nonviolence, with truthfulness, with non-stealing. And it seems a little mysterious, you know, like, well, why would contentment be up there on such a list? You know, why is it so important? Well, the simple answer is that, and we can notice this right away, simple answer is that with contentment, the mind is quiet. You know, we're discontented, we're trying to resolve it. We're unhappy, we're looking for something to make it better. But with contentment, that restlessness is quiet. Then, when that restlessness is quiet, the innate radiance of the soul light can shine forth. And we have access to inner guidance. It's unobstructed. So contentment is crucial to that. That's important, isn't it? All right, then, secondly, and here's the zinger. True contentment requires us to release our ego-based identification. True contentment requires us to let go of clinging to the idea of a separate self. It requires us to get out of those ordinary fragmented states of consciousness and live instead from the awareness of our spiritual nature. So that's why Patanjali has it on the list of what is crucial to our experience of wholeness, living as a spiritual being that we are. So then the question is, well, why wouldn't we want to be happy, supremely happy, unconditionally happy? Why wouldn't we want contentment? So it's an interesting thing to explore for ourselves. And I think, you know, while it's easy enough to discern that all beings, including us, want to be happy and to avoid suffering, many, if not most, people want happiness but are committed to unhappiness and suffering. People are so interesting. In my life, I've noticed I really don't need television or movies or internet because I am self-entertaining. I just watch the tendencies of human nature, and it's fascinating. I know it sounds unreasonable that we would desire supreme happiness, but we would be committed to unhappiness. It sounds crazy, and it is. But it is a pervasive tendency, and it's one that it's really helpful for us to be aware of. I've seen it in myself and in countless others. Okay, so the soul, or our essence of being, is absolutely, unconditionally, supremely happy. And we are innately inclined to want to realize happiness that isn't taken away, happiness that is going to last, happiness that is unconditional. We want that because we know it to be true. We actually know it to be possible because it's the truth of our own being. But we often don't know where it exists or how to look for it. So we look for it in places that it cannot be found. And then add to that what Paramahansa Yogananda called the pseudo soul, the false self or the ego, that function of the mind that pretends to own and control our experience in life. So here's what happens. The ego puts itself in charge of our happiness. That's a mistake. It's a fundamental mistake that we make. And we may know better, but we may forget that we know better. I can see some nodding heads behind masks. Thank you. Here's the rub. The ego cannot attain the unconditional happiness of the soul because that is beyond the reach of ego. Ego is a function of the mind. Soul is beyond mind. So ego can't get there. It can't get to unconditional happiness. And there's a reason for that, which I'm going to explain in a moment, but I want to say that because ego can't get to it, it can only perpetually attempt to find happiness. And that perpetual attempt to find happiness, to find unconditional happiness where it actually can't be found, is the crux of our ongoing commitment to our own unhappiness. Does that make sense? I hope so. A couple of nodding heads. So, because it can't be found where the ego would look, and still the search goes on, we have this commitment then to our own unhappiness because it's not going to be found there. All right, so what underlies this is that ego is based on the false assumption that we're separate from the source, that we're independent from the level of mind, that we're an independent reality, not connected to a higher power. So this erroneous assertion our claim of separate existence can obstruct our knowledge and realization of the self, which is the source of that unconditional, supreme happiness. Without the fundamental knowledge and experience of wholeness, here's the part I want you to know. Without the knowledge and experience of wholeness. This is so logical. Without the knowledge and experience of wholeness, something is always missing. Something is always wrong. Something is always not enough. Something always needs and wants more. Something is always going to be unsatisfactory. This is the commitment to our unhappiness. That's the root of it. So if we don't recognize that, you know, that pervasive sense of something's wrong, something's missing, something falls short, if we don't understand that tendency as the viewpoint of ego, we can spend our entire life looking for happiness that can't be found with the instrument that we're using. It can't be found from that perspective. Okay. Wholeness is the basis of unconditional happiness. The knowledge and experience of our own wholeness, our own fullness, our own completeness is the basis of unconditional happiness, the only basis for it. And once we see through that unrelenting pattern of ego's commitment to suffering by looking everywhere else for happiness, once we see through that, we can actually decide to be content and discern how to do it. But first, we have to see through that. That's the first step, is becoming willing to be content. And that's why I say it sounds so weird. And I can't even tell you how many times I have worked with people on the path and tried to point them to contentment, and it made them really mad at me. Like, how could I possibly be content? Because there's this and there's that and there's this and there's that. And in my family, no one was ever content. So we have to decide that it's okay and be willing, discern why, and learn how. Because until that time, there are 1,000 reasons to be unhappy. And they're valid reasons. You know, we look at our world, we can find reasons. We find suffering with ourselves, mental, emotional, with our bodies, the suffering of other people. It's painful, all of that. Yet, once we become willing to cultivate contentment, once we decide that we're going to live by the soul's wholeness, the soul's bliss, the soul's joy, regardless of circumstances, once we decide that we're going to get off the treadmill of ego's endless pursuit of happiness and satisfaction, once we decide that, then it's possible for us to actually know the soul's bliss, the soul's joy, regardless of circumstances. Now, I just want to clear up one little piece about that. And that is that, you know, sometimes people have fear or resistance to that because they think it will make them cold and uncaring and somehow heartless and unresponsive to the suffering in the world. But it actually doesn't. It makes us stronger and more capable to be able to touch the pain that's there, not deny it, be able to be present for it, be able to meet it with clear discernment and appropriate, compassionate action. So sometimes we need to clear that up as well. So being spiritually awake is not disabling. Being spiritually awake supports us in being able to respond to suffering in our lives and in the lives of others. So I want to just quickly cover the three habits that will help us mint the gold of unalloyed happiness. So the first one I spent lots of time on, which is go for it. You know, be willing. Be willing to be happy. And have a checkup with yourself. You know, am I willing to be happy? Or am I just hanging out in that perpetual state of confirming that I have lots of reasons to be unhappy? So big one, number one. Number two, cultivate the discernment to realize that there are different types of happiness and they're all good, but they all give us different things. And basically they can only give to us of their nature. So we can say basically there are three types of happiness. There's physical happiness that comes from fulfillment of sensory desires. You like coffee? Have a cup of coffee? Pleasure. After that cup of coffee, a couple hours later, where's that pleasure? Well, second cup of coffee, right? Or whatever it is. So we understand that pleasure comes to us in so many ways. And thank goodness we have pleasure. You know, even if you're just thirsty and you have a drink of water, that's pleasure. But it won't, your thirst won't be quenched forever. You'll want another drink of water or another cup of coffee or another piece of chocolate. Now you know my favorite things. So, pleasure from the fulfillment of physical desire. Then there's joy that comes to us from reaching goals, from having accomplishments. You know, think about that. You have a goal to do something, to accomplish something, and it happens, and you're happy about it, right? That happiness, that joy lasts longer than sensory pleasure. But it doesn't last forever, does it? You know, we're on to the next thing. And in that category, we can also see that which we do for others selflessly without desiring personal gain is a happiness that lasts even longer. And then there's the third type, which is bliss, which is happiness of the soul that is unending. It is not related to desire. It doesn't have a beginning. It doesn't have an end. It can't be taken away. That is our unconditional happiness, and that is our source of unconditional happiness. So we can have all three, and I'm sure there are more, but the teaching is know the distinction and what can give you what. Be smart. Be spiritually smart. So then it's like, well, how do we get to a place where we know the distinction? You know, we study the teachings, we study ourselves, and then we meditate, we pray, we live dharmically, we live with higher purpose. So the mind is quiet and we can see clearly, and also we can access that joy of the soul. So that dharmic living, living with higher purpose, is the third habit. Live with purpose. So be willing to have unconditional happiness, be willing to be happy, discern the different types of happiness and what they can give you, and three, live with purpose. Yesterday, I read a little question and answer section in the Truth Journal magazine where somebody asked my teacher the question, you know, said, you know, when they begin to feel like they're making some progress on their spiritual path, then they get thrown off balance by some unwanted experience or some memory that's painful that arises. The question is what to do about that. So my teacher's response was, first, understand that it's normal to have unwanted experiences in this life and also to have memories that will surface. So understand that it's normal. And then discern the difference between or how you respond to that with ordinary states of consciousness and your essence of being. So know the distinction between ordinary states of consciousness, basically ego-based consciousness, and coming from higher states of consciousness, awareness of your essence. How do you respond to circumstances? So be tuned into that distinction. And then the third thing he wrote that I think is so helpful, I want to leave you with, he said, rather than try hard to overcome inclinations to be disturbed, concentrate on living with a sense of meaningful purpose. When you are more intentional in accomplishing your purposes, you will be less inclined to be influenced by external events and random thoughts. So live with higher purpose. That will help you not get sidetracked by that relentless striving of the ego to find happiness out there. And I want to close. I came across this beautiful letter written by Rilke, the poet, a letter that he wrote September 11th, 1919, to a friend that touches so much on this power, the healing power of contentment, and I think it's so relevant for us today, so I'm going to close with that. He writes, "My dear young friend, the joy brought by your letter has many sides. Let me recount at least a few. First, this is what we welcome now above all, that human beings are making a new start here and there to rebuild life with the strength and the faith of their indestructible hearts." Just breathe that in for right now. We welcome now above all that human beings are making a new start here and there to rebuild life with the strength and the faith of their indestructible hearts. There are others who could try this, but who still just stand there staring and trying to make sense, and for whom sadness and sloth finally become insurmountable. Only one thing is urgently needed: to attach oneself with unconditional purpose somewhere to nature, to what is strong, to what is striving and bright, and to move forward without guile, even if that means in the least important daily matters. Each time we tackle something with joy, each time we open our eyes toward a yet untouched distance, we transform not only this and the next moment, but we also rearrange and gradually assimilate the past inside of us. We dissolve the foreign body of pain of which we neither know its actual consistency and makeup, nor how many, perhaps, life-affirming stimuli it imparts. What a beautiful, beautiful inspiration that as we approach life with joy, we not only heal ourselves in the present towards the future, but also the past. That we're breaking apart this connection to the pain body, which becomes new life affirming stimuli. Isn't that a beautiful prescription for us today? So, be willing to be happy. Learn about happiness, discern the different types and what it can give, and live with higher purpose. Let's make a new start today, shall we? Make a new start today with the strength and with the faith of our indestructible hearts. Om.
This message was offered by Yogacharya Ellen Grace O'Brien at Center for Spiritual Enlightenment Satsang on Sunday, November 14th, 2021. Learn more about Yogacharya O'Brien and Center for Spiritual Enlightenment at csecenter.org.